So, hi, I'm Takashi. Usually I'm doing the stuff to make a sound working or breaking, but I casually also have been maintaining the OpenSUSE kernel from the 42 until 43. Maybe I must have smoked something bad to take that role. And anyway, that's why so this time I would like to show something about kernel. But this is not so technical thing, but rather presenting the processing. So it's just sit and relaxed and listen to what I said. So this is outline. I will show some basic development process of the Linux kernel and also what we have built for now until now for the OpenSUSE Leap 42.2 series and the current one, the OpenSUSE Leap 15.0, and what can be in the future. So that will be discussed later. So the first thing is how we develop the kernel. And this particularly belongs also describing about upstreaming and downstreaming. And Linux kernel version, I think you all people running a Linux desktop and you know which kernel you were running on your laptop. Usually it's just -r command. It shows the kernel version like this, 4.4.120-45-default. And what this string means, well, that's first 4.4 is Linux kernel version, and 4.4.120 is a stable kernel. And this part belongs to upstream, and the rest are what we do. So, for example, the package release number and the kernel flavor. So, what this each of them means, that's where we'll see. The upstream development is something like that. So many people, so literally thousands of people contribute the kernel patches and they are evaluated, reviewed, and merged in each subsystem or sub-subsystem trees. And they're eventually going up to the one unique tree that is a Linux tree that is managed by Linus Torvalds himself. Strictly speaking, this is the only pure upstream tree. And sometimes we often see that other trees, like the subsystem, subsystem trees, as also upstream. But strictly speaking, this is upstream. And Linus released a new Linux kernel version at each time for 9 to 10 weeks period. That is about 2.5 months. And basically, bug fixes are applied only on top of the current development. That means if you get a bug in the previous release and you need to wait for 2.5 months, it's a long time. For that, so Greg Cage stand up and worry other people. So they try to backport the fixes and apply to the old trees. So specifically, the regular stable tree is only for the previous release kernel. For example, currently Linux tree is developing 4.17 kernel. And that means that we received the stable kernel update only for 4.16. And once after 4.17 is released, then its stable tree also switched to the 4.17. Then Linux tree is going up to the 4.18 development. So that means the regular stable tree lifetime is also about 2.5 or 3 months, including some transition week. But for many people, this short time life cycle of stable tree is also not enough. That's why there are some also long-term stable tree, LTS. The example that I showed, 4.4.120, this is one of the LTS kernel. So 4.4 is LTS kernel. That means This is 120th release of the Fallout 4 stable. So for that is about upstream. Now it's a downstream. So that is us, OpenSUSE or SUSE. As a downstream, we just take the upstream Linux tree or stable tree and package and put in the distribution to be used by users. That's our purpose. And we provide different kernel flavors. In this case, kernel flavors means just kernel configuration sets. So kernel default, this is what most of you just see on your desktop, laptop, whatever. It's a default configuration for users. But if you want some debugging for the kernel problem, you can use kernel debug flavor package that enables many kernel configuration for the debugging stuff. Also, there are different kernel flavor for the VM virtual machines and reduce kernel config sets and so on. Also, there is a slight difference between OpenSUSE and SUSE Linux Enterprise kernels. Particularly, SLA kernel has a reduced set of kernel configurations so that the enterprise distribution wants to concentrate only on a limited set of devices and a limited set of features. Meanwhile, OpenSUSE provides almost full features and drivers provided by the upstream kernels. And also, the SDK kernel provides live patching by kgraph, while OpenSUSE provides the rolling release following the latest stable tree by tumbleweed. So there are small differences between them. So our kernel package policy is very classic. Just putting Linux table and applying that whole bunch of patches on top of that. And this is managed by kind of Qt style, series.conf, and also patch table. So this is the kernel source package is something like that. Oh, is that too small? Okay, yeah. So you can see the series, and here is a series.conf. It's just list up the whole bunch of patches to be applied. So it defines the order which patches applied first and second, so on. And there are, drivers, yeah. So that is including a patch. Just because we have many patches, they are packed in the table instead of putting the single patch in the and RPM source code. So this is a way how we manage. And one thing I would like to emphasize in the case of the kernel maintenance is we have a golden rule for patches, the upstream first. So that what this means that we want each patch included in a kernel package to be rebuilt, at least rebuilt, or from taken from the upstream tree. And sometimes we have the report that, so please put this downstream some wild patch into our SUSE kernel package. But most cases, the answer is, sorry, no, you cannot do that way. So the correct procedure for that is submit that patch to the upstream to be rebuilt and eventually to be merged in the upstream tree. Then we can backport the patch from upstream to our kernel. So without that, we had, in past, we had many quality problems. So this is for improving the quality and also reducing our maintenance load. And so recap, the kernel development in the upstream side, there are three different trees, Linux tree, stable tree, and stable LTS. in downstream, in our side, we package there from the upstream and just making the Linux tree and backport patches. And we have the upstream first loop. So far, this is a process. And what we have achieved until now by this. So let's start from the OpenSUSE Deep 40.1. It's a trilogy, you know, kind of that. So starting from OpenSUSE Deep 40.21, which just we need to take a look at the early history. Even also often the episode 1, 2, 3 is not so good, but it doesn't matter. So we had, and before the OpenSUSE Leap, OpenSUSE 30.1, 30.1, Evergreen, and OpenSUSE 30.2, and they are based on three different kernel versions. So from 3.11 to 3.16. Now, after that, we had a great idea, OpenSUSE Leap, the grand plan. And this is for and getting a better, sustainable, supported distribution. And that means to share that package with SUSE Linux Enterprise. And the kernel is, of course, it's a core of the core package. Yes, we should. However, at the time of OpenSUSE 40.1, that was a so corresponding SUSE Linux Enterprise version was SUSE Linux Enterprise 12 SP1, and that was based on 3.12 kernel still. And version before that was 3.16. So we would have to go back to the past. And more badly, 3.12 kernel missed many news support for the new hardware, especially for the Intel Skylake. The support of the Skylake was completely missing in 3.12. That was the biggest problem. So then we decided to take a different approach. So take it's an available 4.1 LTS kernel. So that's OpenSUSE Leap 40.21 kernel. So from this version, from this distribution, I started maintenance of the kernel. And this is a own branch, not shared with SUSE Linux Enterprise and 4.1 LTS. And this maintained for 18 months. And total number of patches about 1,000. Well, not bad, no. And what happened for OpenSUSE 40.1 kernels? So because it is maintained individually from OpenSUSE SUSE Linux Enterprise, this is another overhead. You have to apply the different fix if, for example, the security issue comes up. So at each time, there is another new branch to be fixed. So this is obviously an overhead. And also, we took 4.1 kernel because of Intel Skylake. However, Intel Skylake didn't work well with that kernel. And there was many crashes with this kernel, even though we backported many patches after that. This is an unfortunate story, but it's life. And 4.1 kernel was also really strange LTS kernel. I think it's because Greg didn't take that, but Sasha Levin got maintenance for 4.1 kernel. So that received only 32.9 updates for 18 months. So that means 2 updates per month. That's really few updates. So that was a 42.1. Now 40.2. Hey, that's better. And this version, we finally based on SLA12 SP2 kernel. This is not exactly the same, but the source code are exactly the same between SLA kernel and OpenSUSE Leap kernels. But OpenSUSE Leap kernel, as I mentioned earlier, has a different kernel configuration, enables more and more drivers than SDA kernel. So the kernel configuration is only difference between SDA kernel and the deep kernel on that version. And 40.2 deep is taking 4.4 LTS kernel, and that has been maintained for 15 months. And the number of patches in the last release was over 8,000. Yeah, that's many numbers. And so observation of the 40.2. The maintenance cost of the leap kernel itself was very, very easy, cheap, because it's free. Everything comes from the SUSE Linux Enterprise, actually. But for me, it doesn't matter because I maintain also as a SUSE Linux Enterprise. But from the OpenSUSE Leap perspective, it's very easy. And OpenSUSE Leap, because of the OpenSUSE Leap based on the SDA kernel, and SDA kernel had the very active development. So in the end, Leap kernel has received many, many patches. And the good news is that Skylake support was finally stabilized on this OpenSUSE Leap 40.2. So after all, that version was very good. I would say that's not bad at all. So the history goes on. Then we get OpenSUSE Leap 40.3. Okay, this version also again is based on SUSE Linux Enterprise 12 SP3. And again, this time, the very same code as SDA kernel, but different kernel configurations. Yeah. And SP3 keeps still 4.4 LTS kernel. Although this release is, well, how many months later than for SP2? Well, 1 year or so. So that means this is a little bit old. And at that time, there are already new the hardware released. And specifically for the graphics side, we have received KB Lake Intel graphics and AMD GPU. And if we backport all these things to the 4.4 kernel, you would have to more than 5,000 patches on top of that. So we say, oh, that's too much. And so decided that another strategy, namely we take DRM KMP. And KMP means kernel module package. And that allows, so this is a KMP is a one single RPM package, and that allows you to overload upgrade the kernel modules on top of the existing kernel. And the merit of the DRM KMP is that provides a whole update of the full graphics stack. And if you uninstall this DRM KMP, it suddenly goes back whole things. So this is a safe, kind of safety. If something gets broken, then you can uninstall KMP file. Then you go back to the original kernel stage. So that was another reason we took that approach. And that OpenSUSE Leap 40.3 is still maintained. And the number of patches right now, guess what? That's crazy number, 21,000 patches. For single package. And, that we apply 21,000 patches at each time you build a RPM package. That's very crazy. And it's not only by patches, but also the code changes are enormous. As you can see, this is a diff stash. So in OpenSUSE Leap 40.3 kernels, because of many backports, we get about 2 million of lines addition and removal. Yeah. So the observation of deep 40.3 kernel. So again, maintenance cost is very, very cheap. We're just borrowing the SDA kernel. And SDA kernel itself is very heavily patched 4.4 kernel. Unfortunately, SP3 kernel, because of the 4.4 kernel for more than 2 years back, it's slightly outdated. So in some parts that are still old and don't support kind of new hardware. For example, some wireless chips like Atelos 10K driver that's not well supported and so on. For the graphics side, we provided the update by KMP. And this worked pretty well for the KB Lake and Skylake. However, for the older chip than Skylake, that was a really horrible result. Unfortunately, 4.9 kernel from the Intel driver was it's got some regressions, and we couldn't recover from that. So in the end, for the users with old laptops, then it's advised to uninstall DRM-KMP. And this also, there is a conflict of DRM-KMP with NVIDIA or AMD GPU, so external package. So DRM-KMP is one good solution, but it's far from perfect. That is a consequence. So the recap, so the LEAP 40.2 trilogy. The first one is some kind of experiment for me too. And yeah, that was okay because I took up, so stated up as a maintainer newly, but I wouldn't do again. And 40.2, this is carrying from the SUSE Linux Enterprise, and that was, it's good, stable, and one of the best releases. And 40.3, yes, the good point is that it's stable, but outdated in some areas. And DRM-KMP was good for the latest hardware, but bad for the old hardware. So that was a... So now from the past to the current and the future for the LEAP 15.0. OpenSUSE LEAP 15.0 kernel, I finally could throw that away, and Eiji Kosina took over the maintenance ship. Thank you, Eiji. And this is again based on the SDA 15. That is good. Again, so we have no maintenance overload of the OpenSUSE LEAP kernel. And this is based on the 4.12.14 kernel. And the signing method is a slightly change that is signed by PKCS 7. Then that means it needs a different kind of the package dependency and so on. And one point to be emphasized is that 4.12 is no LTS kernel. That means 4.12.14 is a last version provided by upstream. And this time, so we decided, okay, we take all responsibilities. We do all backports by ourselves. Hey, great. How do we do that? So we deployed different things. And one thing is a git fix script that is checking the upstream git commits and whether it should be backported by checking the fixes tag. And that's reported to each developer. You should backport that, check that. And also we regularly watch 4.14 LTS kernel development and whether it's backportable to our kernel or not. So we regularly check that, but we unfortunately still behind the latest stable bulge, maybe 1,000 patches missing. And we need to still evaluate which should have been backported, which can be ignored, so on. And 50.0 kernel starts, it's already 12,000 patches. Hey, that's not so small. Yeah, nice start now. So that, oh wait. Okay, so why so many patches? And would it have been better with 4.14 LTS kernel if we'd have taken that? Maybe yes, but maybe not so much. For example, if you look at that chart, the number of stable patches are so small in comparison with the total number of backport patches. That means the most of the patches we backported are also the requests from third parties or our partners for the drivers and features to follow the very, very latest stage. So that also the patches will also grow up more. So maybe that's not so. 4.14 wouldn't have helped so much. And this again a question for the 15.1 deep kernel. And 15.1 deep will be based on the SF15 SP1 kernel. Then again, this will be 4.12 kernel in the next year. So that we far behind from the latest stance. So that, or we take the LTS kernel, but then we have a more overhead. So this has to be discussed. And okay, this is a recap again, 15.0. Well, the basic concept kept as 42, but no LTS. We are responsible for our all backports. And then for 15.1 deep, I don't know. It's still open question. So that's all about the kernel. I hope that it's in time. So if you have any questions.
Especially in the ARM community of OpenSUSE, we have the problem that some boards are not enabled in the SLE kernel because basically there's no use case for SLE for that, and that leads to the fact that OpenSUSE Leap is not working good enough on this board, so not working at all. So I remember there were some discussions of using a newer kernel for OpenSUSE Leap, like latest stable kernel. What do you think about this?
Yeah, that was the question. For the Leap 15.1, it's especially that question. And yeah, again, the maintenance of the another branch is a problem if, especially for the security updates. For example, once again, when Spectre thing comes up, you have to patch each of the branch. And so who is responsible for that individual branch if we take the LTS? That's a question too. So from the our side, we want to reduce the number of branches as much as possible. But also, so this is a question of balance. If the features are really so many features are missing, then we have to switch more or less. But yeah, so that's a very open question, and we need to evaluate carefully.
Hello, Leap 15 has very big backport of Intel DRM drivers, but no such big backport from AMD GPU. Why?
Oh, that's very simple answer. Because we didn't get any requests for that. For Intel, we got a request from Intel as a partner for the upgrade for supporting Gen 10 graphics generations. But from AMD, we didn't get requests. If we got requests, and we would have evaluated whether it's bug portable or not, and maybe we did that, but we didn't do that. So I think this is also possible from the OpenSUSE Leap user side. Any OpenSUSE Leap user can create a feature request by the page opensuse.org, and that can be evaluated, and we can include the feature if requested. Yeah. So the important thing is request before the release. After release is, of course, difficult. Okay, then, thank you.